one of the great phenomenons and artists of our time. Who else could fill a square in Russia with 20 or 30,000 people to hear him read, or get 10,000 people out and others lined up in the street in New York at the Felt Forum to hear him read? Mr. Yevtushenko isn't the only great artist with us tonight.
I'd like to introduce you to Ms. Anna Yesenin and ask you, I guess, a very simple question to start with. You've written diaries over probably almost half a century. You've lived in New York and in Paris, and you've spoken about yourself as a woman and your struggles. And could you just say, for those who haven't read you, what you think probably is the most important thing you have to say to women in those diaries? Nice, simple question.
It's 25 words.
Right.
The most important thing, I think, is that women should be proud of themselves and find out also who they are. And this is the story of the diary. I was always interested in the growth. I used to watch the growth of plants. And so the only value that I feel it has now is that I have watched a woman trying to grow with the obstacles and the difficulties that she encounters when she wants to be everything to everyone else that is expected of her, also an artist, also live as a poet, also be free. And all these difficulties that we have all encountered, I registered the struggles, I registered how I overcame them one by one, and it's the organic growth of the woman, I think, that the diary gives, so that we can watch it.
I'd like to hear you read.
Instead of doing my own selection, I'm reading selections made by my friend John Pearson in a book called Kiss the Joy as It Flies. I read this like the I Ching because he made the selections so that I feel they're no longer mine, although they're signed by me. There is no one big cosmic meaning for all. There is only the meaning we each give to our life, an individual meaning, an individual plot, like an individual novel, a book for each person. We tried our best to annihilate the individual life, but it is only a well-integrated individual who has something to offer to collective life. To think that one remains young by not living, not loving, not erring, not giving or spending or wasting oneself is a kind of artificial preservation. The value of the personal relationship to all things is that it creates intimacy. And intimacy creates understanding. And love conquers loneliness. People only unmask themselves in the privacy of love or friendship. One has to treat them with care and tenderness. Each is unique, and we may never see another like him. We must protect him from injury if we are to share his life. And I ask myself if the artist who creates a world of beauty to sustain and transcend and transmute suffering is wiser than those who believe a revolution will remove the causes of suffering. If you live as a poet, the poet's duty is to maintain his power to create the marvelous by contagion. That is all.
One of the things that you read there and that is you've mentioned a number of times and throughout the novels and the diaries, and that is that you seem to believe that the change that's important is the change inside ourselves rather than belief in a political any kind of political movement. I'd like to know why you came to that conclusion. And if you still believe it in 1972 America.
I still feel that, you see, because I feel that the system is made up of human beings and that the system itself doesn't change or remedy the cruelty of man, and that we had to begin again in a recreation and rebirth of ourselves as a human being who would not commit such acts as war or harming others. So I went back to the belief that we had to work on what the quality of the human being first, and that would ultimately, of course, affect the system.
Do you really believe that, I mean, that people, for example, who are struggling for survival, I mean, poor people in ghettos, can have the time and afford the luxury of...
But it's not a luxury. You see, it's something that I began in childhood, and my childhood was poor, too. And I was deprived of the father and uprooted and thrown into a foreign country without any, you know, with poverty. But the way I accomplished that seems to have been simply to create at the same time an inner life which sustained me through the outer difficulties, so that I had a very strong, by reading and by thought and by accumulated observation, I don't know exactly how it was constructed, I had this inner world that resisted poverty, uprooting, a broken home, all the things that happened to all of us.
I'd like to ask Mr. Yevtushenko, the quote you gave us, the saying you gave us was, the poet should create the marvelous and make it contagious. Is that your view of poetry?
It's, look, I am a polite man. I cannot speak against one woman, of course, except my own wife. I see this is a part of my understanding of poetry, only part.
And what is the other part? It wouldn't be impolite.
No, we must be careful.
I think that if one, I'm sorry for my English, so childish, so poor English. I think if one poet see the cruelty in the world, even if he is soft, a tender man inside, he must to give for cruelty his immediate cruel answer with his strong fist.
I read an article, an interview with you, in which you said that when you did those kinds of poems, you were almost writing as a journalist. Did I understand that correctly? Did you feel the poems are almost journalistic in political statements, really?
Some kind of my poems, it's as a political journalist. I understand it perfectly. For instance, this poem which I read together with my old buddy, Larry Ferlighetti, this poem is, of course, it's kind of political journalism. But in same time, I think what we must worry about the problems of today. In same time, our duty not to forget the eternity. But if we will help for our today, we also will help for the eternity.
But may I answer that politely? You are speaking of the double role of poetry, which is to attack
cruelty. It does mean double face.
No, it means double role. To attack the cruelty. But then that's a man's way, and I recognize that. And a woman's way is perhaps that she thinks that you can eradicate the cruelty, that you can give a lesson of beauty and a lesson of tenderness, you see, and eliminate cruelty by other methods than by directly attacking it. So both are true, I feel.
I almost agree with you all. Pasternak said once, beautiful phrase, he said the poet is a sister of woman. May I explain this with help of my
Dr. Bertrand, who is chairman of the Slavic Department at Queens.
Судьба поэта и женщины очень много общего.
The fate of the poet and the woman have much in common.
Поэт похож на женщину. На женщина, женщину, талантливый большой поэт, похож на красивую женщину, которая идет по грязной улице шумного большого города.
That
talent, that great poet, is like a beautiful woman who walks along a dirty, noisy street.
Все хотят ощупать эту женщину или руками, или хотя бы глазами.
Everyone wants to touch or grab this woman, either with her hands or her eyes.
Она все время находится под угрозой изнасилования.
She walks always under threat of being attacked, raped.
И то же самое происходит с поэтом.
The same thing happens with the poet.
Потому что тоже его хотят им воспользоваться с разных сторон.
Because
использовать его.
In the same way they want to use him from all sides.
То же самое, и когда поэт пишет стихи, он чувствует то же, что чувствует беременная женщина. Он беременен.
The same thing happens for a poet when he writes a poem. As for a pregnant woman, they're both pregnant and giving birth.
И он чувствует, когда он написал что-то, он чувствует то же, что чувствует женщина. Он чувствует облегчение, в то же время пустоту, страдание.
And when he's finished writing, he feels like a woman who's just given birth, empty, that he's given something out. He suffered.
Но когда поэт женщина,
but then the poet, woman,
то это двойные страдания.
That's double suffering.
Тогда поэт женщина — это два страдания. Поэт женщина — это два женщины.
Poet woman is twice a woman.
Поэтому я как-то предложил, я не люблю слово поэтесса.
For that reason, I don't like the word a poetess.
Я считаю, что существуют только поэты. Поэты женщины, поэты мужчины.
I believe there are only poets, women and men.
А поэтессами я предлагаю называть жен поэтов.
And poetess, I propose, should be the name for the wives of poets.
Я считаю, что те уроки прекрасного, которые может дать женщина, людям, это такая же борьба с грязью и пошлостью мира.
I suppose that those lessons that a woman can give,
которым женщина может дать миру,
the lesson that a woman can give to the world,
это такая же борьба,
it's the same struggle, the same fight,
с пошлостью, с грязью,
with philistinism, with filth,
как и борьба прямая, непосредственная,
as the same fight as the direct fight, the direct conflict itself that a man would have.
Do you find that being a woman and a writer is double punishment?
Yes, I do. There are conflicts. When, for instance, if you have anger as a poet, you think it's just your anger. A woman questions the anger because she's afraid of destruction.
By who?
The connection of anger with the destructiveness is stronger, perhaps, in women, so that she has a greater conflict about attacking what she knows is unjust and wrong. I mean, she sees it, but she doesn't know by what means to attack it.
I wanted to know, why do you say that you want to respond to cruelty with a fist? Why do you use poetry then?
Because sometimes the poetry is most powerful fist.
Yes.
For to punish the punishment.
Do you find that true in your writing? I mean, that you can. One of the things, when you were writing your diary, did you write them for publication? Did
no.
you think at some
no,
point they
I,
would be
no,
published?
No, I didn't. They wouldn't have been so honest.
Because what I wondered from them is, I mean, did you have any sense of how much you could change people's lives with those books?
What I did was to begin with myself as a guinea pig, mm-hmm. and to prove something by my own life and to myself. And once I was convinced of that, you see, then I was able to make the transference of this that I had learned from my own experience and my own life as a woman. but I had to make the experiment. I used to call myself my own guinea pig. And the diary was a record of that, you see, the belief that that I could not only change myself, I could change the people around me, and I could ultimately perhaps affect, you know, others through the writing. And it did work that way. I had to prove it first.
I'm so curious about what you said before, though, that the problem of destructiveness, because I gather you view yourself as to some degree liberated.
Yes, completely so.
Completely?
At this moment, I feel that.
Then why should destructiveness or anger...
But I didn't do it that way. I didn't do it with the fist.
But could you use it now?
You see. If it was necessary, yes.
Without threatening you?
Yes. No, I don't mean that it threatened me. I meant that I thought violence, you know, the feeling against violence as a method, the feeling against attack, instead of attacking, I wanted to change, you see, so that I had a different method, simply a different way. Which is a different, more difficult way than man's direct way.
Have you ever wanted to write a diary?
To write diary, it's a very difficult thing. Because I'm sorry, I'm not speaking about your diary. But I think what usually all diaries is lies. It's lies. You know why? Потому что очень тяжело сказать. Даже ночью, когда остаешься один, никого нет, даже очень трудно самому себе сказать правду о самом себе.
Because it's a very difficult thing, even when alone late at night, with no one else, to say to oneself the full truth. It's very difficult.
Это не вопрос трусости, это не вопрос трусости даже или смелости.
This is not a question of cowardice or courage.
Это вопрос то, что очень трудно вытащить из себя все, что у тебя внутри.
It's just that it's very difficult to pull out of oneself all there inside.
You look like you wanted to comment.
Yes, yes, I don't feel that. I think it becomes a habit of truth. If it begins early enough, you see, I began at the age of 11. It became almost an unconscious habit. And I would always do it under certain conditions, at night, as you say, when you're alone, lying down with a pen, not a typewriter, completely communion. And as far as the habit of truth is true, when the diary begins, it includes the persona you want to be, it includes the pretenses, but very slowly these disintegrate, really, as you learn to confront yourself and also to confront your relationship to others, because I don't want to give the impression the diary is all self-portrait. I was very obsessed with relationship to others and the portraits of others, and to be, I would repeat them until I felt I had gotten the truth. And also there's a truth that you get by the instantaneous impression, which memory does change. So you can come a little closer to what you felt that day at that moment. And I think that some diaries have caught that.
Wonderful explanation. But we are best lawyers of ourselves, usually.
at that point, I'm going to have to cut it off. Larry Ferlinghetti, I want to thank you so much for coming down. Carolyn Craven, Anais Nin, Dr. Bert Todd, and Yevgeny Yevtushenko. It's been a tremendous evening.